Who am I? I divide relationships. I hurt neighbors. I damage reputations. I slip into conversations. I tell about bad news. I don't play fair game. I talk when you're present. I'm cruel and malicious. I am elusive. I wound without killing. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I crush hearts and ruin lives. I am reckless. I'm not ashamed to tell anyone. I even share. I can't stop. I keep going. I speak shameful truths. It flows out of me. I ruin marriages. I succeed in every level of society. I tarnish a reputation. Next slide, please. I am gossip. I am gossip. Turn to Genesis 3. I know I have it on the board, but Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's right in the beginning of the Bible. We see this thought. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. And the Lord God that he had made, he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die." We see the interaction where Satan lies about God. He gossips or slanders what God truly says. "You surely won't die. You surely won't die," he says. And the Greek word from devil is diabolos. It refers to, when we look at the word, it's one who slanders. Accuser is one wording, but one who slanders. So from the beginning here, Satan has always been the great slanderer amongst people. And we see here Eve was a sitting duck to take it all in. Next, please. Another source of slander, and this is the introduction, is, you know, the news media. People are so influenced when we turn on the news. The elections are a big deal, and even watching TV, actors, I remember as a boy, soap operas, they would come on, and my mom would hone in on that. And there was always something interesting as a boy to listen in and say, "Boy, that just sounds so discouraging to hear all of these people and how they talk about each other." Satan is a negative being. Our human sinful nature is to be negative. That's just the way life is. There's, how many people do we come in contact, not saying in the faith, but you look out, this world is swamped by negativity. Negativity! Satan controls the negative. He uses our sinful cravings. That's the sinful part of a man, is to always look at the negative part of living. And I made the comment, my wife always, when she helps me not to be a critical person or a gossiper of things, she'll say, don't be a negative nanny. Don't be a negative nanny. Be careful. You know, that's the point, is our sinful nature toward negativeness is not from God. It's not from God. People don't want the good news because it can expose us. It can expose us. Satan uses a craving for negative news, and our human nature is Satan-controlled. That side of us, it's just not of God. That's the point. Next, please. What does God want from us? Well, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 5, right? For this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. God's will is that all men be saved.
Amen.
Everyone. Not just us here, but everyone. Remember Jesus' last dying prayer in John 17. I think the last few months we've really emphasized a lot on Jesus' prayer here in John 17. He says in verse 20, I do not ask for these only, the apostles, those he's praying for, but those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have been given me, and I have been given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The emphasis here is God's desire, Christ's desire, was that there'd be unity. There'd be unity because unity does truly stand in contrast with the world, the negativity of the world. People want to see Christ in us. Isn't that being a Christian? The influence of how we live and how we communicate and talk has an effect on the people around us. Satan wants us to be suspicious. This is the thought of Satan doesn't want us to be unified. He wants us to be suspicious of one another, to be distracted from what God really wants in us, is to be unified. So people are influenced to say, we want to believe and follow the God you believe in. Satan is the same way he started in the garden. He's relentless. He does the same today as he did then. Next, please. What is gossip? What is gossip? Gossip, I actually redefined, but gossip is negative words shared with another. Usually it's not malicious intent on the part of the gossiper said about another who is not present to defend themselves. Another Webster's dictionary, a worldly dictionary, is it's unconstrained conversation about other people. Many times it involves details that are not confirmed as being true, but it may be true. I mean, gossip may be true about somebody. We may have some truths about another person, but it can be gossip. And you know, how does God view gossip? You know, in studying this and thinking about this, there are so many passages in the Bible, from the beginning in Genesis all the way through. You know, and when I see those words in the Bible that are so prevalent, they must be important. In Proverbs 6, how God views gossip. He says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. Amen. And there are other passages. I can read them quickly. These are examples. Like I said, there's so many passages, you can't divert from it. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. In verse 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. I want to say thank you for Mo, because Mo is an excellent man to stop negative, ungodly talk. Proverbs 25:23, like a north wind that brings unexpected rain, is a sly tongue which provokes a horrible, horrified look. Proverbs 18:8. The words of gossip are like choice morsels that go down to the inmost parts. You know, even to just sit there and suck it in and absorb it takes a person listening, and that can condemn a person. Because if we're filled with gossip, 99% of the time, it's very tough to keep it. And whatever we hear, to not want to tell somebody else. But refuse to enroll. 1 Timothy 5:11 through 13. I know these are quick passages, so we're probably not going to be flipping through, but thank God we have this, honestly, the overhead. But listen to this. But refuse to enroll younger widows, to when their passions draw away from Christ. They desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Beside that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. This is Scripture. This is what God thinks. This is what God sees. This isn't men trying to beat up the next person. This is what how God sees it. In Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. The way of life is unproductive and does not bear good fruit when this is occurring, when this type of life is walked in. In Romans 1:28, Paul says, furthermore, just as they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a depraved mind, so they will do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. You know, Romans 1 is all about believing in God should be obvious. It should be obvious, the things He's created, the things He's made, the way we should live. But Paul says, furthermore, you know, in addition to this, of all the things that were going on, how does God view? It should say view and not use gossip. That's my wrong. It's unfitting for Christians. That's the point. It's unfitting to go around and just talk loosely about anybody. A brother one time I confronted about this, and he says, he apologized right on the spot. I think we need to do that. And he says, I'm sorry. You're right. I used loose lips against this brother. And this brother was in some really rough sin in his life. He just was having a tough time in life, and he was letting out things go. And we got to be careful in how we deal with things, you know. Next, please. at the end of Paul's letter in 2 Corinthians, and having dealt with a church that had chaos. I mean, if you want to read church chaos and unorder and divisions and people that weren't connected to God, he says, Paul says, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you. And I'll be grieved over many of you who have sinned early and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they've indulged." Whole churches can be damaged just in how we affect each other and what we say. James 1:26. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." We need to be careful what we say to each other. And I say this humbly. Trust me. Like I make my boast in Mo. I appreciate Mo so much to hold me accountable to not being a hypocrite in preaching this message. But it takes two to tango. It takes the gossiper and the listener. You know, do I protect one another relationships? Do I protect one another? Next, please. This is a challenging one. In Titus 3, Paul starts off, he says, "Remind the people to be subject to rules and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle." Always be gentle to everyone. Yeah, okay, so at this time, yes, Christians were being hammered on. When this letter was written, Nero was killing Christians. It wasn't like we always had a full worship service like we do today. Christians were regularly martyred for their boasting in Christ Jesus. And on that side of it, Paul says, you know, be peaceable with all men, to slander no one, not even evil men. Pray for them. Can I talk bad about anyone? Politics, anyone out there that we don't agree with, religious groups that practice error? Can we talk bad about anybody? This seems to me that gossip and slander are never innocent. I'm not saying that all of us here are slanderers, like we have this malicious intent to hurt each other meaningfully, like I want to hurt you. But gossip can get in there and it can damage people either way. If I listen to gossip, I'm part of the problem. It takes a gossiper and a listener. If I'm not part of the solution, don't listen to spread gossip. Gossip does happen a lot of time when something has gone wrong and sin is present and does not get resolved God's way. Ask yourself, can I help the problem? When we come about, we go about each other's lives. Can we help one another? Can we be helpers? If not, don't listen. Gossip can spread rapidly when we're hurt by others. And that's a big deal. Forgiveness matters. When we're sinned against each other, which will happen, the closer we get to one another, relationships go deep. Think about marriages. You've been together for a long, long time. It's not going to be a smooth-flowing, perfect life. It takes work. And we got to be careful that when we are hurt, that we go to the person. Next, please. How do I deal correctly with this sin in my life? And I wrote, if it is going on. Maybe you're perfect, and amen to that. Amen if you've never participated in this. I think many of us can say, yeah, we've overcome the obvious. You know, no sexual immorality, no adultery, no drunkenness. But this sin of the heart is potently rampant. It's rampant. Matthew 18 teaches us how to deal with things properly. It's challenging, but it's proper. If your brother or sister sins or gossips, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they don't listen, take one or two others along so that in every matter may be established the testimony of two or three witnesses. Notice that. Just between the two of you. When you deal properly with issues, it's between the two of you. And it doesn't go anywhere else. Deal with it that way. If it doesn't get resolved and it keeps going on, he says, get others involved to help resolve the issue. Remember, don't just gather aside a great number of people to hear what your itch and ears want to hear. Gather aside people that you trust, that you've had relationships with in the church, that you trust they will help work out the situation. Don't gossip. Do it right. And like I said, it's a tendency when we're hurt to go to somebody else and say, I can't believe so-and-so did this, or they said that. We got to be careful. Next, please. What does the Bible teach if this sin continues? And I say this humbly, because this is what the Bible teaches. This isn't what I teach. It's not a suggestion. I urge you, brothers, in Romans 16:17, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Again, this is not a suggestion. In Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays, which we had earlier, a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. A gossip betrays a confidence. He says, warn them. Warn them. Warn a person that just talks a little too much. And the strongest one is in Titus 3, verse 10. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. And after that, have nothing to do with them. Now we pray and hope that this occurs way less than what it should. I mean, goodness, this would be painful, but this is a command of God. I think that's the most challenging thing, is when life is challenging and we want to do it our way and deal with things our way, it doesn't benefit God when we see what He says about it and what to do. God knows what gossip and slander does to a church. A lot of gossip hurts God and the church. I mean, honestly, we're to be bringing people in that'll see the love we have for one another and the unity we have. It's like poison. It's like poison. Next, please. Have I been guilty of gossip? Have you? Ask yourself, have I been guilty of gossip? What do I need to change? I think that's the building up of the church. What can I change? Ephesians 4:29. I can't think of a passage that really sums up how we're able to make the change. In verse 29, Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, then it may benefit those who listen. to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Sometimes we really struggle with, well, what about me? What about me? I've been wronged. It's very challenging to do it God's way. And this is the way that God would have us do it. If you're not a Christian, God takes how we live seriously. Gossip is sin. We must repent and be baptized to turn away from even just this sin. And I'm not even talking about all the other sins. That's the thing that's we need Jesus for. That's why we come together, to be cleansed by His blood, because we all fall short. If you are a Christian, if we can change this one sin, we can truly benefit from one another with wholesome talk. So if anyone needs to come forward, I'm forward on this. Like I said, I don't take this conversation lightly, but God deals with this in a godly way. It's His way, and I pray that if there's anything that you can do and want to do, that it would change today. You can change today. It doesn't have to take a lot of thought to say, "Ooh, Father, I just don't want to plunge into this in my life. I want to do it right for You." And as we stand and sing, let us sing the invitation song and take this to heart. Amen.